This is Scott McKay, and you're listening to a bonus audio on the How to Talk to Your Son About Women and Sex program from X and Y Communications. With me for this bonus is a gentleman I've known for quite some time now, whose work I respect greatly. His name is Jonathan Catherman, and he is in a team with his wife writing books on parenting. They call themselves, non-ironically, the Cathermans, and they are the authors of a new book called Raising Them Ready. So when it came to the topic of grit and mental toughness and building that in our sons and indeed our daughters also, Jonathan was the first guy who came to mind. So Jonathan, welcome aboard, man.
It's good to be back. I like talking with you and your audiences.
Yeah, man. It seems like you and I get along on a lot of things, and we're both raising good families with great kids. Now, you're a boy dad, which we talked about before hitting record, and you're darn good at it. And I mentioned this idea of grit and mental toughness to you. And just to kind of throw that on the table, or, you know, kind of set the table for these guys, what we're talking about here is raising kids to be resilient, raising kids to be, well, non-victims, to give them the ability to step up, stand up for themselves, make their own way in the world without being so dependent necessarily. You said you had plenty to offer on this subject. And you know what, Jonathan, I'm just going to let you go ahead and give these guys everything you have on the subject. I know you said there's more to it than that too. So go for it.
Like drinking from a fire hose here for a minute. But yeah, so I hear this a lot. Like, I want my boys, I want my kids, daughters to grow up to be resilient, to be filled with grit. So let's just start with, what is the definition of grit and resilience? So grit is that firmness of mind and spirit, whereas resilience is the ability to recover quickly from difficult conditions. So basically, if you break that down, it's how do you approach things from a mindset, if you will. The problem is, when we talk just about grit or resilience and having our kids have a mindset, we're missing two very important components that are required for them to go past just how they think about themselves into actually being able to do for themselves. So basically, what we're asking is, are they ready or not ready for what the world's going to throw at them? And if we have this belief that if they're resilient, then they're ready. No, if they're resilient, they only have the mindset. In order to be ready, you also have to have skill set and tool set. So if we look at ready as a combination of mindset, skill set, and tool set, we can break that mindset, skill set, and tool set into two different categories, willing and able. So willing is mindset, able is skill set or tool set. So yes, we need to raise our kids with the mindset of resilience and the mindset of grit, but we also have to give them the ability of skill sets and tool sets. When our brain registers that there is a demand, something, a task that requires specific effort before us, our brain automatically does a willingness and an ability readiness assessment. And if we have the mindset, grit and resilience, we're willing. If we have the skill set, tool set, then we're also able. Our brain then says, okay, good, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to take on this challenge. And when we face challenges, and I don't mean this in a negative term, we need to kind of brand how we use the word challenge. When our brain faces a challenge, it gets focused, confident, proactive, or we are intent to win. And then our performance usually increases, becomes more positive, and improves. And that's in that space in which we thrive. We grow, we prosper, we succeed. And all that comes back from, I am willing and able. I have the mindset of resilience and grit, and I am able. I have the skill sets and tool sets to back it up. The opposite also occurs when we have a breakdown of willingness or ability. If we're unwilling or unable, then our brain registers that same demand as a threat. And when we feel threatened, we tend to avoid, we get doubtful, we get reactive. Things don't tend to go our way. Our performance gets poor and it decreases, and we move into survival mode. So when we're talking about resilience and grit, we're only talking about one third of the equation we need in order to be ready, challenged, perform well, and thrive. So it's a great, great question. Dads, you need to raise your kids to be resilient with grit, but you also, you know, that puts them into the willing, but they also have to give them the skills and tools they need to be able.
So what you're talking about in many ways is tied to ye old fight or flight response. And what I hear you saying, Jonathan, is it takes more than just a nice pat on the shoulder and encouragement to panic proof our children.
We call that self-esteem. You got to get raise your kids' self-esteem, you know, their confidence in themselves. Yeah, no, you need to have kids who have self-efficacy. They have a founded belief that they have the skills needed to navigate and accomplish their goals. Self-esteem is fine. Self-efficacy is self-esteem with proof.
So this is tied to confidence in general, which can be summed up in many ways as belief in our own competence. If I don't have any skills, I have nothing to be competent with. I just have a mindset.
You want to be confident, capable, and kind, because I honestly believe that resilient people have the mindset, skill set, and tool set. They are confident and capable and enables them to also be kind. And I think we need more kindness in this world.
Yeah, I think when we feel like we're capable, we have a lot more grace with other people who perhaps aren't so capable. Instead of being
and we're
arrogant,
willing to share. Yeah.
Yes, right. So we're not only more gracious about it, we also carry ourselves with a different flair. It's almost like, all right, I'm not going to be a douchebag about this and lord this over people and be a bully. Instead, I'm going to increase the good in the world by what I am able to do to help other people feel more confident and indeed feel better about themselves. Now, it's interesting that you would tie that to grit and mental toughness.
Well, the fight or flight is only half of what we're taught. The other is the thrive pursuit, the pursuit of thriving versus the attempt to just survive. So if we're going to talk about grit and resilience, and I tie that into not just a mindset, but also ability, when you learn skills and you have tools and you build your self-efficacy, that affects the mindset also. So resilience, your ability to recover quickly because you've got good grit, that firmness of your mind and spirit, is directly tied to, do I know how to do things and do I have the resources I need to do those things? When they're all combined, then you have a ready mindset. So demands come at us every day. All shapes and sizes. It could be simply getting up to an alarm, and it could be changing a tire on the side of the road. You know, it's just what requires specific effort. And if I'm ready for those different demands, then I am building my mindset of resilience because I have the skill sets and tool sets. I have the ability to meet that demand rather than flee from that demand. We need not confuse fight and flight as they're on one side. Don't confuse fight as able, because really we're trying to avoid fight or flight in the way that I don't have to fight or flight because I'm able. I can manage this. I can handle it. I don't have to put up my dukes or I don't have to run away. This is before we get to fight or flight.
I love what you're talking about here in terms of grit, resilience, fight or flight. All of this typically being couched in an environment of survival, or shall we call it crisis mode. You know, Jonathan, in terms of this discussion, I'm realizing most people default to thinking of grit and resilience as something that indeed happens in crisis mode. Something bad has happened to me. How do I make it happen for me instead? And, you know, all these cute little catchphrases we use. The fact that you would take this and flip it around and talk about thriving and being our best self, you know, to use another cute little catchphrase, living our best life because of that same set of skills and mindsets, you know, what we're calling grit, mental toughness, determination, not being a victim. That's fascinating to me. Talk to me more about what we as dads should be doing to give kids the complete package in this regard, because I think this is somewhat of an original thought to a lot of the guys listening.
So in addition to being able to run essentially a readiness assessment, you also need a launch list of resources you can give your kids as they're maturing through the different age and ability appropriate stages of their life. So if you have a child between, say, 2 and 22 years old, there's over 300 life skills that they need to acquire a little at a time over time, again, that are age and ability appropriate. So that as they move through the different developmental stages of their life, which includes everything from, you know, elementary school to middle school to high school to going off to college to getting a job and moving out on their own, we can track those stages through these identifiable, you know, phases of, you know, school and moving out and all that kind of stuff. What we want to do is as the kids are maturing, as dads, we need to be setting them up with the skills and tools they need to succeed. Age and ability appropriate. Look through. In fact, we have this launch list in a book titled Raising Them Ready. And it talks a lot about mindset, skill set, tool set. And when it comes to what are the things your kids need to learn between, say, the age of, you know, 2 and 8, and again, between 9 and 11, 12 and 14, and 15 to 18, and 19 to 21, all these are important developmental stages. Teach your kids the skills and give them the tools they need to advance through those stages to build, like scaffolding, build a process in their life that is layered, rather than just looking for the day that they move out and hoping they make it. That's the worst plan ever. The worst plan ever is just to look towards 18. It's not a magic number. It's about maturity. Help your kids mature little at a time over time.
You know, what comes to mind as you're talking, Jonathan, is that a lot of parents nowadays really are laissez-faire parents. They're sort of just existing with their children, or, you know, even worse, Jonathan, sometimes they're just their kid's buddy. They're afraid to man up and be a dad and be an authority figure and to, you know, throw down some boundaries and throw down some opportunities for these kids to learn and to build the skill sets and the mindsets you're talking about. What also came to mind in context with that, Jonathan, is I think a lot of parents, especially in our culture, don't really know how to bridge the gap between protecting our children, because obviously we don't want to see them suffer, as opposed to letting them fail a little bit, scuff up their knee sometimes, get up and say, hey, you know what? I can survive this. I can be better for it. Letting kids learn by trial and error. And I would like for you to talk about, in very practical terms, if you would, how dads can find that balance. Because, you know, if you overprotect kids, you're going to ruin their self-esteem. They're going to see other kids doing what they can't do, and their assumption isn't going to be, I'm better than those kids because my parents love me more enough to overprotect me. They're going to think, well, my parents don't see me as capable. And meanwhile, you know, you don't want to go complete free range on them and let them get hit by a car, you know? So what's dad to do here?
There's two things that dads can do. One is master what's called the authoritative parenting style. And the second is come up with a release plan for your kids that goes through a cycle of instruction, guidance, and counsel. Let me explain them both. Let's start with the parenting style. There are four parenting styles that are based on what kind of expectations we have for our kids, how demanding we are of them, and how responsive we are to our children's needs. So if you have a low expectations and low responsiveness to your child, that's called an indifferent parent. It's, I don't care, do what you want. You're going to probably do it anyway. It's the parent that's checked out, less demanding, less responsive. The indulgent parent is they have less demands, but they're very responsive to their kids. These are the parents that spoil their children.
Eric Cartman's mom in South Park, right?
They helicopter around their kids. They make sure that they're never in any struggle. There's no pain. There's, you know what? Your kids need to struggle. That's how growth occurs. Nobody went to the gym without weights. You know, you don't go there and grow physically because you just stood around and everything was comfortable. That's the way life works as well. You've got to let your kids struggle a little bit. That's how they learn. But the indulgent parent doesn't allow for that. There's another parenting style. It's high demanding, but low responsiveness to the needs of our kids. It's the authoritarian parent. It's the drill sergeant parent. You're going to do it my way because I said so, right? It's my way, the highway. Under this roof, these are our rules. You know, it's shape up or ship out.
Hey, let me interrupt you for just a brief second. Is that the parent who makes great demands? And if the demands are met, it's all good. But if the demands are not met, there's hell to pay. And those kind of kids end up growing up thinking they were never good enough and they're the approval seekers because
it can be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It can be.
That's rough.
But here's what we're looking for. We're looking for parents that have high expectations of their kids. The demands are high. And I don't mean like demand, like, you know, wag your finger demanding. I mean, we have expectations in our home, but we also recognize that each of our kids have different response needs. So where one child is motivated by words of encouragement, the other one is motivated by time spent together. Where one child has, I recognize that one of my kids is not athletic, but another one is. So I am going to respond to their interests, but we still have high expectations of them performing with groups of others. So great, one kid's on the football team, the other kid's in theater, but they're working with groups of people so they learn how to work together with others. We have high expectations. This is what time curfew is. These are the chores we need to do around the house. These are the grades we'd like you to pursue. But we also recognize how we get our kids to learn and practice those things is unique to each child. That is called an authoritative parenting style. So dads, look at those four parenting styles. You can Google them. You can read about them in my book, Raising Them Ready. But you want to pursue the authoritative parenting style. The second thing we need to do is we need to learn to let our kids go a little at a time, over time, while we're giving them the teaching that they need to succeed. And this is done in three stages. We call this a release plan. Stage one is you give them instruction and then you let them go. Stage two is you give them guidance and then you let them go. And stage three is you give them counsel, but you have to let them go. Instruction is me teaching you. So as a parent, a perfect example is teaching a child how to ride a bike. You pedal like this, you steer like that. This is how you brake, balance. Do as I'm telling you, and you'll learn how to ride this bike. Then you've got to do what? You got to let them go. So if I'm running beside my son, my hand on the seat, and I'm telling him instructions on how to ride a bike, and I think he's got it, what do? I let go. Knowing full well he's about to crash, right? Every parent has experienced this when they've taught their kids to ride a bike. Off they go, out of our hands' reach, and they speed wobble, they run into a curb, they hit a bush. We know that a fall is coming when you're teaching a child how to ride a bike, but you still have to let them go. And then they get back on. This is that resilience and grit. They get back on. You tell them, look, I know you can do this, and here's why. I'm building them self-efficacy, not just, you can do this, honey. I know you can. Got to give them the here's why. You're learning how to steer. You're learning how to brake. You're learning how to pedal. You're going to get this. And then we run alongside of them. And we coach them up. That's that guidance thing. And sure enough, they're steering and braking, not crashing. And so then we go on a bike ride together. And I'm still coaching them up a little bit. Hey, don't forget to look up. No, we're coming up on a corner. You might want to slow down. It's not the same as instruction. It's guidance. And then you got to let them go. And one day they come back to us and say, and this is a perfect example because it's a true story in our own home. My son is going away to college and he's taking a bike with him. And he came to me and said, Dad, I think it'd be best if on campus I had a bike. Which bike do you think I should take? Well, he has two to choose from. One is kind of like a older modeled mountain bike that's not very appealing to thieves. The other one is a very expensive road bike. And it took him about the words falling out of his face to recognize the counsel he's looking for. He already knows the answer to, and it'd probably be a good idea to take the old mountain bike rather than the really fancy road bike. So, but he came to me and I said, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, it's good. That's, you know, good thinking. That's just, he's looking for counsel. He's not asking me to tell him what to do. He's not asking me to run alongside of him while he's on campus, you know, getting between classes on a bike. He's just looking to see what wise counsel I can give him about what to take with him. I already taught him how to ride. Already given him guidance, and now he's seeking my counsel.
You know what, Jonathan? I think everything you just said puts this whole topic in wonderful perspective for these guys. And I can't help but think about those parents who refuse to let their kids go. And that's how we get the Cheeto-fingered guys in their mom's basement playing video games at age 30. And that, to me, is the opposite of what we're trying to instill in our kids, at least the guys who are in on this program. So listen, man, I appreciate you. I am so glad that you're the guy talking about this subject with these guys, because I think you really hit it out of the park. His name is Jonathan Catherman. His newest book is Raising Them Ready, and you can go to mountaintoppodcast.com/raising them ready. Let's do all three words and find a link to grab a copy of that book there. You can also go to mountaintoppodcast.com/Catherman and find out a whole lot more about what he and his wife are doing to make parents, better parents. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Scott, it's always good to talk with you, man. Thank you.
Yes, and until I talk to you guys next time, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.